I'm Brian McCreath from WCRB. I'm at Symphony Hall with Masaaki Suzuki, who is back in Boston and now with the Handel and Haydn Society. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. And is this your first performance with the Handel and Haydn Society?
Exactly, yes. This is the first time for me to work with them. That's a really wonderful thing.
Yeah, well, and so I'm really so thrilled that you're here to collaborate with them because of your just huge experience and amazing contributions to historically informed performance. And the program of Haydn's 104th Symphony and Beethoven's 9th Symphony, these are pieces, especially the Beethoven, that are so often, we hear really often with modern orchestras. And so what do you feel like a modern orchestra performance can tell you about doing it with a historically informed performance? And what is it vice versa? What does a historically informed performance offer that a modern orchestra wouldn't about Beethoven 9?
Well, recently we have more and more kind of tendency to perform those classical repertory with the period instruments. And there are, both elements, I mean, in positive and negative elements. Because, obviously it is very difficult or hard for the period instruments to kind of concur the sense of value of the modern orchestra with in terms of this classical repertory like Mozart, Beethoven, and Mendelssohn, and so on, because of that image was so fixed already, and everyone knows about Beethoven 9 and as the our own image kind of. So this phrase must be this and that expression, this must be this and so on and so on. So the many images. So we always must give them different ideas from the so-called usual modern orchestra expression, but that is not always very good. I mean, sometimes we have to show our difficulty with the period instruments, because period instruments have the more limitation in technique, but that is the reason why we are taking these instruments. For example, in horn solo in the third movement, in the Beethoven 9, there is a very famous horn solo, but it is not possible to get all the notes equally, with the natural horn. So you must use stop technique or the holds and so on, whatever.
And that changes the tone of each note. You can't make it consistent.
Yeah, exactly. So that is a great challenge at that time for any horn player. So we can show this image as it was, So that might give the audience a completely different idea or impression of the piece. That is really, in a way, wonderful and in a way dangerous, because sometimes we might break the image of the audience. But I think that's Beethoven is really innovative. This is the revolutionary the composer, and he has experimented the many things, especially in the end of his life, and so we see so much revolutionary elements in the music, and now it is it became actually too classical to anyone now in this era.
You kind of bring an idea to my mind, and I didn't even think about this before, but when you look at Haydn and Beethoven together, so you're rehearsing these two composers with the H&H Orchestra, and of course the chorus will come in with the fourth. But in terms of the orchestra alone, especially the string instruments, is it the case that that Haydn wrote for the instruments a little bit more idiomatically, more so that it's a little bit easier to play, maybe, if I put it in simplistic terms? Is it easier for the orchestra to play Haydn because of the way he wrote rather than it would be for Beethoven?
Yes, this is in a way true, because the Haydn belongs to the 18th century, and the old techniques or sense of value in performing is the more or less common from before, like Bach or Handel, and to compare with Beethoven, Haydn sounds quite much more classical. But of course, if you compare Haydn to Handel or to Bach, Haydn must be quite much modern. But still, Beethoven is even more modern. So this is a really interesting progress from Haydn to Beethoven.
And one thing that comes up, I don't want to get too bogged down in details, but one thing, especially when we're talking about historically informed performance, that's worth sort of addressing is the tempos from Beethoven, because there's the controversy about him finding a metronome and what the tempos he put down on paper and what really works musically or not. Is that something that you factor into the way that you're conducting, what he thought about tempos?
Well, of course, if you perform Bach, you can never get figures of a metronome, so that is very happy, actually. We can easily happier. But since Beethoven, of course, you can get figures, and that information make us sometimes very difficult. But I think this is a very good the reference, of course, and we should have certainly respect of what he has written and in his autograph and so on. And so we can certainly try to follow that. But tempi is actually highly musical thing and also personal thing. So we can, it is not good all the time to follow just at the metronome wise, the same figure. And so that is always so until this contemporary music, I think. So Mendelssohn was the first composer who has put the metronome figures on the published, on the edited material. But in Beethoven time is still, that is probably his own idea, and performers must think by themselves. And there's also one interesting example. For example, Max Reger. It is said that Max Reger's metronome was counted very, very slowly. So that was his indication, is immediately, extremely quick, and which is never to follow, which is never possible to follow. And this tempo indication is always very, very arguable, and probably for the as a performer, we better not see that.
When we talked, I think it was a couple of years ago, it was the Bach Collegium Japan had just completed the entire recording cycle of sacred cantatas by Bach, a massive project that took 25 years and amazing. And the performances are stunning. And I remember you telling me at the time that Bach Collegium Japan's next chapter was going to really revolve a lot around Mozart, and you released Requiem, I think you released?
Yes.
And so I wonder for you personally, now spending more time in that later 18th century, what is it that you've found that has sort of opened your eyes in that era of music? And how much do you still refer back to all of your deep, deep relationship with Bach when performing Haydn or even Beethoven?
Well, we have completed the all cantatas now, not only the sacred one, but the secular cantatas also completed. And we are now doing more and more later works like Mozart, Haydn, and Beethoven, and Mendelssohn, and so on. But once we do some later works, we come back to Bach all the time. So just as, probably I told you already, but this is our home, kind of. So that's very, very comfortable to do that. And also, the more we do the later works, the more we can feel Bach as a kind of fundamental resource to our musical activity. And that was also same to the Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, whoever around that area, they found also Bach as a kind of very basic resource. And that is very interesting that is very nice to share this kind of feeling.
And because of the history with the ensemble that you founded, Bach Collegium Japan, there are ways that orchestra, that ensemble, and of course there are singers too, but in terms of the instrumentalists, there are ways that group and you have, maybe self-evidently, have come to work together and have a shorthand for, how things go. Do you feel when you guest conduct, whether it's here with H&H or maybe Philharmonia Baroque or any number of other ensembles, do you bring some of those ideas with you that were developed within Collegium Japan? Do players in other places sort of incorporate some of those ways of playing into what they're doing with you in those guest appearance situations?
Well, probably it can be said that the musicians, instrumentalists of the period instrument have probably more diversity in technique and also performing style rather than modern instruments. Each of the period instrument orchestra have their own history, of course, but also individually they have some the very personal history, how to improve themselves and also how to develop the technique together with the instrument. So there is almost no standard how to set up the instruments, the string instruments or wind instrument and so on. Of course, there are theory, but each of the player must adjust small details on the, for example, keys on the wind section, or the sometimes you must adjust the inner measurement or the strings, the position of the bass bar or strings and so on. Those details are completely different, and that must be adjusted by each of the musician. So each orchestra have thus quite much different color of the sound, and of course the modern orchestra as well. The each orchestra has a different character and color. But I mean that was slightly different situation because we have much less standard how to have the instrument. So here for example H&H sounds quite different from our orchestra and of course personalities in especially in the wind section is very important in every ensemble, and we needed a little time to know each other, but now it's going very very well. And in my ensemble, for example, the core members of the wind section or string members have been working together long time, since 25 years or nearly 30 years. So that's why we know each other very well, and sometimes a little too well, and so that's why that makes some difficulty. But that was a different thing. But it is very fresh for me all the time to meet the new ensemble, new individuals, and to talk about the image of the music and also image of the instrument as well. For example, I very often talk to the timpanist, because we do own the timpanis and the copied according to the original instruments, but here is the real original instruments from the 19th century, and that is really wonderful. And how to maintain the skins and how to maintain the instruments and so on, and which mallet to use and so on. Those things are very all of them very interesting. So just never good or bad, but instead of just a different sound that makes a different expression. That is very important.
Yeah, I mean, that must make your job really fun when you step in front of another group for the first time and you hear what comes back.
Exactly.
Yes. If it's different from Collegium Japan, it must give you new ideas.
Yeah, certainly. Yes. Yeah. So the musicians must be very practical. So, in order to make the concert as good as possible, we have only limited time. And so we always trying to find what is the best in this situation. In this case, everything goes very well. But still, we needed some talk and some rehearsal, of course. That's a natural thing.
Mm. Masaaki Suzuki, thank you so much for some time today. I'm so happy you're back in Boston and now working with H&H.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be back here.